Smarty brothers and sisters, I get to preach God's word to you as we find that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 2, verse 2. The calling of the text there is that we confess our sins to the Lord, and then for Jesus' sake, he will forgive us. And in connection with that, I thought it's beautiful to read one of the Psalms. I thought we'd read together from Psalm 32. That's a prayer where David makes confession of his sins to the Lord, and he speaks about the grace that he has received in Christ. So we're going to read together from Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is a psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a great flood of waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So far our reading, then the text for this morning is taken from 1 John. We're going to read together from 1 John 1, verse 8 to 2, verse 2. John chapter 1, starting at verse 8. There God's word says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So far the text. Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from Psalm 51, the verses 1, 2, and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you may remember from a few weeks ago that the Apostle John taught us that the Lord is a God who wishes to have fellowship with us. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And it is his delight to bring us out of the darkness and bring us into the light so that we can enjoy intimate fellowship together with him. Now, John knows that the one thing that estranges us from God, that breaks down the fellowship between us and God, is our sin. And so he tells us in the first verses of 1 John 2, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. He's saying, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to damage the intimacy, the fellowship that you have with God. But then John knows us. He knows our propensity to sin. And so he tells us how to deal with it when we fall into sins. And he says, in the first place, we have to realize that when we sin, then we're called to confess our sins to the Lord, and he will forgive us. And then he reminds us in the second place that Jesus Christ is our advocate, He pleads our case at the Father's right hand. And God is willing to forgive us because of the propitiation, because of the sacrifice that Christ has offered on our behalf. Well, if you think about it, brothers and sisters, it's very kind of the Lord that he teaches this to us. We live in a world where there's so many people who carry so much guilt. They've committed sin, and they know the things that they've done wrong. They're estranged from each other, and they feel guilt in their hearts about some of the things that they've done in the past. And they literally have no way to deal with it. They have no way to get out from under it. The best that they can do is try to forget about it, try to put it away from them, try to carry on with life as if that never happened. Well, it's not a really good solution, because guilt is something that can weigh on you. It can eat away at you. It can steal your joy, and it can destroy relationships. It is in this context that the Lord tells us that as his people, we're in a very different place. He has promised to forgive us for Jesus' sake. He tells us that when we confess our sins to him, he will be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you think about that, that's quite a promise, brothers and sisters. He is faithful and just. He'll forgive you, and he will cleanse you. It's his gift in Christ. I preach God's word to you with this theme: Christ died for you, so confess your sins to God. We'll see in the first place the need for confession, and secondly, the gift of God's grace in Christ. So our text starts off in verse 8. The apostle says, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, it's possible that you read that over and you kind of wonder to yourself, you know, whoever would say that they are without sin? Like, we'd never say that. You know, maybe somebody in the world would say that. You know, maybe somebody thinks, yeah, I'm a good person. You know, I've never committed adultery. I don't steal from my boss. You know, I've never murdered anybody. I'm a good person. I don't sin. That's not who I am. Well, it's not the place we're at. We're God's people, and we know the scriptures. We know what God says. There's so many places in his word in which the Lord tells us. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Or we know what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Or as Paul says in Romans 3, he quotes about 10 texts, Romans 3, verse 10 and 20, 10 psalms in which he shows that we're sinners, and then he ends off in Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As those who know our Bibles, we know that we're sinners, and we know that we rest under God's judgment. But you know, brothers and sisters, it's one thing to know in a general way that you're a sinner, and it's quite another thing to confess the specific sins that you committed yesterday to God in prayer. It's actually really hard to speak the truth in a very specific way about the things you've done wrong. And at core, the issue is pride. We're proud people, and it's really hard for us to humble ourselves and to speak the truth about our situation. Maybe I could ask you, do you confess your sins much in a specific way, brothers and sisters? Now, if you're a parent, sometimes your kids, they say things and they do things and you blow up and you lose your temper. You completely lose it at your kids. Do you go back and do you confess to them that you've sinned against them and do you ask them for forgiveness? Are you honest with your sins about your brother or your sister? With your boss? With your employees? Are you honest with fellow church members about some of the things that you may have done in the past and ways in which you've sinned against others? Maybe I could ask you, are you deeply honest with your spouse? Amanda and I, we've been married for 27 years this past week. Real blessing. We know each other dearly and we love each other very much. But it's really quite something. It's still easier for me to pray to God privately and to confess my sins to the Lord privately than to do it in Amanda's presence. And that still shows something of the pride that's in my heart. I have a hard time, even with someone who knows me as dearly and loves me as dearly as my wife, to be truly honest and to be upfront about it. Well, you know, insofar as we do this, brothers and sisters, we're not in a good place. Even though we never say it, we act as if we're without sin. Do you know the saddest part of it? Is that it never works. It's not as if your sins disappear if you just don't talk about them. Now, one of the foundational truths of the scriptures, we just sang of it in Psalm 139, is that the Lord knows us. He knows all our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Even before a thought is conceived in our heart, in our minds, he knows about it. So there's nothing that you're hiding from the Lord. David says in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. If you tell God about your sins, you're not telling him anything new. He knows about it. He knows everything about you. In Psalm 7, verse 9, the Lord is acknowledged as the one who tests hearts and minds. Or in Psalm 90, verse 8, there's some families, they read Psalm 90 at the end of the year, the last day of the year. Maybe tonight you'll do that in your family. You reflect together on the blessings of the Lord. You break out the Bible and you read Psalm 90 together. Well, in verse 8, Moses confesses that even our secret sins, the ones that no one else knows about, they are known to the Lord. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. Now, the truth is that God even knows us better than we know ourselves. Proverbs 16, verse 2, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. The Lord weighs the motives. Sometimes we're fully justified in our own thinking and the way we think about something, but the Lord discerns what's really going on in our hearts. And he knows our deepest motives. You know, if you don't confess your sins to God, you're not fooling him. You're just fooling yourself, brothers and sisters. And the truth is, you can't even keep your sins hidden from other people. Now, sometimes we think we can do that. Sometimes we think we don't tell anybody about what's going on and nobody needs to know. Well, God tells us in the Bible, that's not how it works. It's in 1 Timothy 5, verse 23 and 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. If you do evil, sometimes it comes out. It's really obvious. Everybody gets to see, and they get to know who you are, and they get to see the evil that you do, and it's really in the open. But there's other times it's not in the open, but later on it comes out. Just like the good that you do. Sometimes it's hidden. Nobody knows about it. But even if you keep it hidden, over time, people get to know. You can't really hide what's going on in your life, brothers and sisters. Whatever you do comes into the light. It becomes obvious. And we know that from real life. You know, a crooked businessman, he gets a reputation from his employees, from his customers. An abusive father, he leaves a trail of brokenness in his children's lives. A lazy employee, he gets a reputation. Over time, nobody wants to hire him. The sins that we commit, they infect our integrity and our character. And so over time, everyone who deals with us, they get a sense that not everything is the way it should be in our lives. Over time, the consequences of sin catches up with you. Well, brothers and sisters, our Father loves us. And so he tells us of a better way. Don't hide. Don't pretend. But speak the truth. Confess your sins. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know what the word confess means? Give you a little Greek lesson here. The Greek word is homologeo. Homo, we recognize that as the word the same. So if you have something that's homogenous, it's of the same kind. Or if someone who calls himself a homosexual, they're attracted to someone of the same gender. So homo is same, and logeo means to say or to speak. So homologeo, to confess, literally means to say the same things. If you confess your sins, you say the same things about your sin that God says about your sin. When you sin, then God looks in your life and he says, that's a sin. You ought not to do that. And if you're going to confess your sin, you say, Lord, I sinned. I shouldn't have done this. This is what I did. And you say the same thing about your actions that the Lord says about it. The same thing is about your motive, about your heart, that the Lord's saying about your heart motives. Well, if you understand this confession, then verse 10 becomes really important. In verse 10, God says, if we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word has no place in us. So if you're saying you haven't sinned, if you pretend you haven't sinned, if you're not willing to confess your sins, if someone confronts you and says, hey, you know, and you're like, no, it wasn't me. So if you're not willing to confess your sins, then God says, you call him a liar. Because when God sees your heart, when God sees your actions, he says, hey, you sinned, you shouldn't have done this. And if you say, no, I didn't do it, it wasn't me, then what you're saying is you're saying, God, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. And John says, you know, John's pretty straight with us. He says, you call God a liar. And then he finishes off the thought. He says, and his word is not in us. So if you're unwilling to be upfront about your sins, brothers and sisters, then at the end of the day, you're not willing to be honest with the Lord. And effectively, then you're saying God's lying. Well, when you understand that, brothers and sisters, then you realize it's not a little thing to keep your sins covered. It's not a little thing to pretend that you don't sin. Ultimately, it's about God's honor and God's glory. He is a God of truth, and he speaks the truth. And he speaks the truth because he loves us and because he wishes to have relationship with us. And so he calls us to be people of truth. He says, I will tell you the truth. I will speak the truth into your heart. I will tell you the truth of your situation. And then the great calling for us, he says, is to also speak the truth about our situation, that we confess our sins. Well, if we do that, brothers and sisters, then we get to share in the greatest gift of God. The Lord tells us that there is so much freedom and there's so much blessing when we confess our sins to him. If you're willing to say the same thing about your sin that God says about them, then God makes this incredible promise to you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Those are beautiful words. God is faithful. He's faithful to his promises, and he's faithful to his nature. His nature is one where he is a forgiving God. That's his character. When he first revealed himself to Moses, Moses said, Lord, I'd love to see you. And the Lord said, okay, I'll reveal myself to you. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, that he reveals himself to Moses, he is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And he says, that doesn't mean that I'll clear the guilty. But he says, it does mean that the first place, I am a forgiving God. I'm willing to forgive you all my sins because that is my nature. I'm filled with a heart of love, and I delight to show mercy to all those who humble themselves before me. And that's also his promise. He's promised us to forgive us our sins. He told us in our text, he told us elsewhere, if you confess your sins to me, I will forgive them. I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I will not hold them against you, hold any longer. And then on top of that, the Lord also says that he is just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you think about that, and you might wonder to yourself, you know, why does God say that he's just when he talks about forgiveness? Like justice, usually we associate with punishment. If he's just, then he's going to punish us for our sins. But the justice here, what it means that sins are not unpunished. He is still just. But the difference, he explains in the next verses, is that instead of punishing us for our sins, he's willing to punish Christ for our sins. And that's a really important thought for us to remember as well, brothers and sisters. When you confess your sins to God, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, poof, they disappear. It's not as if you didn't commit those sins, and it's not as if there's no punishment for those sins. They have been committed, and they will be punished. But the great gift of God is that he says, you don't have to bear that punishment. Jesus Christ bears the punishment for you. That's the point of 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. Now that word propitiation, it's a pretty expensive word. It means to make payment by the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ makes payment by the shedding of his blood. He is the propitiation for our sins. And that's the core of God's justice. God says he is faithful and just when we confess our sins. He will punish them, just he doesn't punish us, but he punishes Jesus Christ, who has become the propitiation for our sins. You know, God's justice demanded that sin be punished. Page 2, God told Adam, you sin, you die. And so throughout the course of history, we know that the judgment is the due course of sin. Paul spells it out in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Our sins must be atoned for. But the great thing, the great gift of God, is that Christ is willing to shed his blood for us. That really gets to the heart of the promise here, brothers and sisters. The Lord makes this rich promise to you. He says, if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just, he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive you. No more guilt. No more shame even. Christ takes the shame of your sin upon himself. And he also cleanses you. He renews you with his spirit. He makes you into a new person, so that you don't keep doing the same sins over and over and over. But he changes you. He cleanses you so that you become filled with his spirit and you do what's good and right before him. And then the apostle also tells us the second thing that Christ does for us is that he is our advocate with the Father. An advocate is a defense attorney. He's a lawyer. And so it's true that our sins come before the Father. But then Jesus Christ pleads our cause. He says, Father, I paid for this sin. I died on the cross. There's no more guilt for this sin. And so look upon him in mercy and show him grace for my sake. And if you think about that, brothers and sisters, you know, the word for the devil, the name he's given is the name Satan. And Satan means accuser. He is the accuser of the brothers. So it used to be that when God's people sinned, then Satan would stand before the throne of grace and he would accuse them. Lord, did you see what he did? Did you see how he did this wrong? You see? And he would blame us for all the things that we did wrong. But now that Jesus Christ has come as our advocate, he pays for our sins and he advocates our case before the Father. And so there is no basis for sin. The devil can't accuse you any longer because your sins are cleansed. They're washed away. There is no guilt. That's been taken away. And instead, your advocate is standing before your Father, and he says, Lord, show mercy to him for my sake, and love him as you have loved me, because he believes in me, and he trusts me, and he confessed his sins. Well, do you understand the grace of God then, brothers and sisters? The Lord is a loving and a faithful Father. He loves you dearly, and he wishes to have fellowship together with you. He's made rich promises to you. He's working out your salvation. He sent his Son to die on the cross for you. And he promised you that when you confess your sins, he will forgive you and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Will you then take God up on this promise, brothers and sisters? Will you use the means that he has given to be set free from the power of sin? It's really important. King David, he talked about what happened when his sins were not confessed. We just read together from Psalm 32. There was a time, we don't know exactly how long, it seems to have gone on for some months, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, before Nathan confronted him. And it was during that time that he didn't confess his sins to the Lord. He tried to hide them and cover them up and pretend they didn't happen. And then he talked about that. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. That's what unconfessed sin does. It feels like you're out in the hot, blazing sun, and it sucks all the energy out of you. You have no vitality, you have no life left in you. Well, then David says, then he confessed his sins. I acknowledge my sin to you, my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And when he did that, it filled his heart with joy and gladness. He was so grateful. He was so joyful. He had such a beautiful life. Psalm 32, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Confession leads to joy and gladness. The Lord lifts the weight of guilt. So the great calling is to believe the promise, brothers and sisters. And at core, it means to grow in humility. It's often the hardest part, to overcome our pride. But it's so liberating to be humble. More and more, you experience freedom from the power of sin. You understand how much God has done for you in Christ. And you love God more and more. And you flee to the cross. You beat a path to the cross. And you leave all your guilt at the foot of the cross. You experience the beautiful life of peace and freedom with your God. I love the imagery that one of the Puritans used. He used the image of a cat. He said, we need to be like a cat. Because a cat is always cleaning himself. He's always licking the dirt and the grime off himself. He's constantly cleaning himself and making himself presentable. Well, we need to constantly go to the foot of the cross. We need to constantly be cleaning ourselves to get rid of the dirt and the grime so that we're clean before the Lord, that we experience his peace and his freedom in our lives. So the calling, brothers and sisters, is to indeed have this humility. Ask the Lord for it. Ask God to let that grow in your heart. And maybe you want to do a Bible study on humility. Take out a concordance, or if you don't have a concordance, then get your phone and go to the ESV app. And in the search function, then search for humble and search for humility. And then go through the text and read every single text. And the ones that strike you, just write it out on a piece of paper. And when you're done, then read that all over and meditate on the Lord's calling to be humble and meditate on the blessings that come on those who are humble. It's a profound gift that the Lord wishes to share with us as his people. He's our God, and he wishes to have intimacy. And it's through humility and confession that's the means that he uses to draw us close. You know, if you wish to grow in your spiritual life, sometimes happens New Year's Eve, people make these resolutions. You kind of think, how would I like my life to be different in the new year? What character changes would I like to work at? Well, if you're thinking about that, brothers and sisters, if you wish to change in some way, any kind of moral change in your life starts with humility. It starts with confession of sin. It's when you confess your sins that many times there's profound growth that comes out of that. And then when we have this confession and humility, that many times, then the Lord, he wipes all the sin away, and he draws near to us. He promises that. Who does he dwell with? Well, he says it's with those who are contrite and humble in heart, those who tremble before his word. Let's ask our Father for that kind of humility, for that kind of confession. Let's pray that we may walk closely with him and receive his grace. And he promises, Lord, he promises to you, brothers and sisters, that he will show his grace. He is the Lord. It's his greatest joy to do that. He knows that we often damage the relationship. But for Christ's sake, he will draw us near. He will cleanse us from all our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. He will be our God, and we may be his people. Amen.